Neighborhood Voice explores community issues through the lens of local residents. We've spent time talking with entrepreneurs about their experiences running small businesses and how they've adapted during the pandemic. Now we're getting local perspectives on the impact of COVID-19 from organizations working most closely with the community. I'm your host, Erica Pfizer, and this week I'm joined by Nancy Vinluin, Chief Clinical Officer for Campagna Academy. Thank you for joining me, Nancy.
Thank you for having me.
So you serve people through Campagna in lots of ways, substance abuse and therapeutic treatment. Can you give me an overview of who you serve and the kinds of programs that you offer?
Sure. A typical child who comes to Campagna Academy is a child who has been removed from the home at an early age as an infant or a toddler. So by the time that we get the child at Campagna, the average age is 14. And oftentimes they've been in multiple placements between being removed from the home and coming to Campagna. Mm-hmm. And because of their trauma, they've been removed for severe abuse and neglect. And because of that, many of them have behavioral problems that have made the prior placements unsuccessful. Mm-hmm. And so they come to Campagna to receive treatment and to learn how to live productively in the community when they are discharged. The average length of stay is between 6 and 9 months.
So the goal is then to give them the treatment that they need to be successful in their placement, and then to reunify them with either their families or...
Yes, to reunify them with their families is generally always the goal. Mm-hmm. If that is unsuccessful, then the Department of Child Services and Campagna will jointly look for a foster home for them or a group home setting. Another placement that may enable them to receive continued treatment, to live independently as an adult when they get older, and to live successfully in the community. Campagna has a residential treatment center where the children are in a private, secure setting. We also have a emergency shelter care for children who need immediate placement because something has gone awry in either their home or a placement that they're in. And those children will come and spend a few days, up to maybe a couple weeks, in emergency shelter care. We also have a diagnostic and evaluation program, which began in April. And the children there will be there for 30 days. They're placed by the Department of Child Services to be evaluated for 30 days closely by a neuropsychologist, a clinical team of Campagna social workers and therapists, nurses, and a psychiatrist. And at the end of the 30 days, recommendations are made as far as how to move forward with the child.
So there's a whole team of care after their assessment addressing their needs kind of holistically. As Chief Clinical Officer, what's your role in overseeing this?
As Chief Clinical Officer, my role is to integrate the medical model into the milieu to help deal with the higher acuity of care of children that we're receiving. The Family First Care Act, or Family First Prevention Act, goes into effect October 1st. And with that, the goal of that federal law is to keep children in the home and not have them be removed in the first place and to put a lot of services in the home. So in order to meet the criteria for residential treatment under Family First, a child is assessed by an outside assessor. And only the most acute children will be admitted into residential services, into a congregate care type of setting. And so with that, the children that we receive will have even a higher acuity and needs than they have now. And so my role is to integrate that into the milieu, into the therapeutic milieu, under the model of trauma-informed care, which is a component of a model where, a holistic model where it is all of the children are treated based on their history of the trauma that they've endured. Mm-hmm. And it's a cultural change. It's a business model, trauma-informed care, for not only the children, but for the staff and for leadership, administration also.
How many residents or youth do you have either in your day programs or in your residential programs?
Companion, we can have over 100 children. And many times we've had 100 children there at once. We also have cottages that have intellectually, developmentally disabled children who have been removed for the same reasons I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. But they have a lower IQ. So we specialize in behavioral therapists who address those with a lower IQ. And we can have 20 children in that. We can have 18 children in diagnostic and evaluation, and we can have 16 children in the Pathways Emergency Shelter Care Program, and 48 children in the private secure building.
Now, we all know that COVID, and especially when we were under the stay-at-home order, was a stressful time for a lot of families, mm-hmm. a lot of children who were e-learning at home for the first time. Were your residential programs affected? Did you see more youth coming into the emergency shelter? Can you talk about that?
Well, at the time of COVID, when that was implemented, or when that took place in March 2020, our emergency shelter was not open at that time. We opened mm-hmm. that in April of 2021. We did see a large impact in the children who were at Compania at the time in residential care, both in the intellectually developmentally disabled program and in the private secure, in that they had to stay in and not visit family during that time. So for several months, they could not have visitors, and they could not go on therapeutic home passes. So they were at Compania the entire time, which was stressful for them, mm-hmm. very stressful for their families. It had the potential to delay the reunification permanency process of reuniting them with their home, with their families. So we were able to use a lot of video conferencing, Zoom, mm-hmm. Teams, to try to continue with that communication. We definitely saw an impact with COVID, with the increase in behaviors in the children, from being not able to go home, not able to go out, you know, no community outings that they normally would attend. They did not attend school except remotely.
Sure.
So we saw a lot of those effects, and many of the children continue to deal with those after effects through therapy and increased therapy sessions. And fortunately now we have been able to resume home visits and visitation.
And I would imagine that's really hard on the staff, too. I mean, they're dealing with what they're dealing with at home, but then also coming into work and dealing with, you know, the added kind of stress and trauma that the youth are going through. How do you keep morale up?
It was challenging to mm-hmm. keep morale up. We did a lot of, our CEO did a lot of all-staff meetings, to explain to the staff, to let them vent. The staff worked very closely. The direct care staff worked closer than ever with the therapists, the case managers, the Department of Child Services, to try to work on ways of keeping the children occupied in therapeutic ways. The staff did a wonderful job of maintaining that professionalism that they needed to have during that time. And we tried to increase, we did employee appreciation, we gave out bonuses, and so we tried to do a number of things like that by working with our human resource department.
And not only were you affected by the spread of the virus and, of course, having to adjust your programming for that, but then there were also some state budget cuts, right, that affected your operations?
Right. And the state budget cuts affected it in the primary way in not enabling us to be able to fairly compensate our employees. We were not able to increase the salaries because of the state budget cuts to what we thought would be a fair level. We since have worked around that and increased it somewhat, but we'd like to increase it even more for the work that they do. These employees come in and they're with the children 24/7. They have their meals, you know, from breakfast to getting them ready for school, assisting with that, to dinner time to bedtime. They're with the children nonstop and in a confined setting.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd like to increase their salaries even more, and the budget cuts primarily affected that with us.
But you did get a grant from Lilly Endowment, and that how did that help support your organization?
We were very fortunate. Out of 450 applications, Companion was one of those that was chosen to receive the grant. And it helped us to deal, the focus of that grant helped us to deal with COVID, the effects of COVID. We were able to purchase a lot of the equipment needed to do the telehealth, the telecommunications, the televisits. With that money, we were able to buy, as you know, PPE at that time had inflated prices. It was very hard to find. And when you could find it, the prices were sky high. We were able to purchase the PPE, including standalone walk-up temperature takers. We had to have our automated temperature takers. We had to have all employees and children every time they came into certain parts of the building or they reported to work, their temperatures taken. So we were able to, instead of having staff out there like we had been doing, we were able to purchase the expensive automated facial recognition temperature takers with that. And that was very helpful. It enabled us to also buy a lot of cleaning supplies that were also very high-priced at that time. So it enabled us, I think, to carry on, keep going, increase our infection control practices, and work with consultants in infection control to pay for that. So it was a blessing, and we have felt very fortunate that we received and were chosen to get that endowment.
And how many organizations are there like yours, either in the area or even in the state?
In Lake County, we are the only one. So we service all 92 counties in Indiana. We have children coming from each county, each of those counties, and there are probably 30 residential centers throughout the state of Indiana like ours. What's unique with Campania is that we are the only one that has 24/7 RNs on site all the time. We are placing registered nurses in every unit, in every cottage every shift. And so we want those nurses. This will help us incorporate the medical model into the milieu. And so other residential treatment centers have not been able to achieve that higher level to raise the bar for residential services in order to meet what will become the higher acuity of the children that we receive, even more so higher acuity than they are now.
Well, it seems the importance of your organization is only emphasized really in this last year, and I hope that your employees who have been working so hard, you know, feel well compensated and well taken care of. And we appreciate the work that you do. Is there anything else that you want to share?
I'd like to share that I hope that this, I didn't know a lot about Compania before I started working there, and I've been there for 6 years. It's like a microcosm of society. So I hope that the community becomes more aware of Compania and can, we're always looking for volunteers. We are also always looking, as other places are throughout the state and throughout the country, we are actively recruiting new employees. We welcome applicants. And it's a good opportunity for people to help these children, the most vulnerable children. It's a good opportunity to be able to help them achieve a productive life and get through the trauma that they've suffered, oftentimes as infants and toddlers.
And you're located in Schererville. Mm-hmm. Can you provide your website URL so if someone wanted to learn more or look at your job opportunities, they could?
Definitely. They could just search for Compania Academy in Schererville. All the information that I've just talked about is on there and the way to contact us. And we welcome that from the public and the community.
Thank you so much, Nancy, for being here.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And thank you for joining us this week on Neighborhood Voice. You can visit OurShot219.com for information about local COVID-19 resources in Northwest Indiana. This show is made possible by Legacy Foundation, the Community Foundation for Lake County, Indiana.